Father, at just any time now, Lord. And God, we want to make ourselves ready, Lord. I ask you, Father, you touch our hearts today, Lord. If there's sicknesses in bodies, Lord, or distractions, Lord, would you push all those things to the side, oh God? And Lord, let us just behold your face this morning. Lord, help me to get myself out of the way. And Lord, just let you to just take control of this service, Lord. Meet every need among us, Father. Lord, we believe that you are a living God, Lord. You are alive and well, Father. Lord, let us get plugged into that today. Lord Jesus, that we can bear the life of that, Father. We love you. We thank you. We ask you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Before we let our musicians be seated if they'd like to. I want to going to be speaking out of Matthew chapter 6 this morning. You know, there's nothing like the presence of God. Amen.
Amen.
I've been on the other side with the world. I've done the things of the world, and there's no contest at all. No comparison whatsoever. You know, the greatest that they have to offer has no comparison to 5 seconds in the presence of God. And that's not just words. That's absolutely true.
That's right.
Brother Tony, when he was saying, well, y'all, I agree with that 100%. He said, you know, you can get a new car, a new house, new boat, or new shoes, or new purse for the lady's sake. And that thing will bring joy for a while. And you, if you don't believe me, just listen to them. Because they'll be like, look what I got. I got this at that store they go to. And I can't remember the name of it. But, you know, they'll be excited about that thing, talking to them, and they say, look what I got. And, you know, next thing you know, it seems like maybe a month down the road, you're out shopping, and they say, I need a new purse. I could have swore I just heard you talking about that one. That's just the way it is, though. But the presence of God, it's something that's eternal. Amen.
Amen.
Let's read in our scriptures in St. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. Just going to read one verse. It says, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
You can be seated. You know, God's got, He's got control and He's got harmony in heaven. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
You know, and what makes it in such harmony in heaven is no angels trying to take the other angels' place. You know, they've got their own position and they're content with that. And not only content with that, it's a blessing to them. They like doing what they're called to do.
Right.
They like being in that. And because they do that, everything works together. And you know, it works in harmony. And I believe that we can have such harmony here on earth whenever we are in the will of God. Do you believe that?
Yes.
The one thing that I feel that we need more than anything, and the one thing that any believer would honestly ask themselves, if I was to pull you to the side and I would ask you the question, are you in the will of God? Are you doing the will of God? I imagine a lot of us would say, you know what, I sure hope so. And many would say, I don't know if I am or not. But you know what, I believe God wants us to come to a point in our life where we know I am in the will of God. Amen?
Amen.
Right. Because whenever you are in the will of God, you know where you're standing. And you know what does it cause a person to know where they're standing? It's because they know their position. And once you know your position, it don't matter what happens, you can stand your ground. Amen?
Amen.
I was in college here not too long ago, and we were doing a study on the planets and the solar system, and there were several different theories about how the solar system works, and there was different thoughts. It's thought that the planets go up and down, and some of them thought they were square, and all these different theories of how the planets and how the atmosphere would work. And I'm not a doctor by any means, but just try to bear with me when I try to explain these things. They had theories about how the planets operated. And according to their theories, certain planets should be at a certain place at a certain time, and it was never right. And they got closer and closer. They were looking through a glass darkly, so to speak. They were trying to figure out how everything operated in heaven. And they never could figure it out. And they got so close, but they kept saying, according to the calculations, all these planets should be at a certain place at a certain time. And according to the calculation, it's not working. Why is this not happening? And they got the greatest mystery that was ever revealed to them was gravity. And once they learned about gravity, they were able to take that into their calculations, and then they could see these planets should be at a certain place at a certain time. And everything went exactly to a certain point. And then all of a sudden, it was just like before. They were all off all over again. How many knows what I'm talking about?
Okay.
According to the calculations, they were right for a certain point, but then they finally realized there has to be something else. You know what they found out? There was another planet out there somewhere. And when that other planet was put into the calculations, they without us can't be perfect. Amen?
Right. That's right.
That it was so perfect to a point, but because one was missing, the whole thing was out of chaos.
Right.
And that's the way the body of Christ is. There's the greatest mystery that we have. That's election by God.
Yeah.
Where God has an election. And you know, that planet way out there, I believe it was Pluto was the name of it. It looked way out there all by himself. He didn't look no more part of the family of God than nothing. But he was. You know what? And he was out there. It looked like his position was way out. And what brought that planet into its position where it needed to be? You know what it took? Every planet being in its own position.
Because when every planet was in its position, not even knowing what they're doing, on their day by day, one time they passed Mr. Pluto, and Pluto felt the pull. And when he felt the pull, it brought the whole thing back together. Amen.
That's right.
I love that. You know, because that's the way it is. We have brothers and sisters like myself that didn't look no more in the plan of God than nothing. You can look at it and say, Mr. Pluto over there ain't got a chance, but it's because I haven't come to time yet. Give me some time. Because you know what? At the appropriate time, Mr. Pluto will come back to subjection. You know what? We've got brothers and sisters that have fallen away. It may look, there's no hope. Don't even worry about that, brothers and sisters, because I believe with all of my heart, the orbit of God will be perfect. Because whenever, all we got to do is be ourself in the will of God. Ourself seek for God's perfect will. Amen?
Amen?
By election, the believers will at the absolute correct time feel a pull in their heart to start their orbits. And they have no idea that there are more planets out there, but they felt a pull. And when they felt that pull, God went to work. Amen? And I really want our young people to really pay attention to this sermon because I feel a very strong burden on my heart for our young people right now about, I want you to understand, you need to seek for the will of God in our life. You need to seek for the will of God in your life in the same way as Brother Tony does every day. Is that right, Brother? Brother Tim, every day. Brother Matthew, every mother. Amen. We need to seek for the will of God. And you know what? Sometimes the will of God isn't a bed of roses, so to speak. Sometimes doing the will of God at first looks glorious because you know it's the will of God. Have you ever felt the adrenaline when you're sitting on the couch and you say, you know what, I'm going to go work out. I just got the enthusiasm. I've got the power. God forgive the word, just the way of explaining it, that I've got the eye of the tiger. You know, I've got the burning feeling on the inside. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to do the will of God. I'm ready to go. And you're laying on the couch. You've got the potato chips sitting in your lap the whole time. And you're saying, you know what? I'm going to go. I'm going to work out. I'm going to do this thing. Yeah, rah, rah. You're ready to go. And then you flip the recliner down. You're like, oh, okay. Go get a drink of water first. Go get a drink of water. You're like, well, you know what? I told my wife I was going to do these things. I told her I've got to take care of that first. And you go to do, and you'll find some excuse not to do the will of God. How many knows what I'm talking about? God, you feel the power. You feel the enthusiasm. You say, you know what? That feels good. And you see in your mind, people will say, my, that's, look at that sister. She is in the will of God. And you know, and you're ready to go. But then when you go down to doing the will of God, sometimes it's not very comfortable. Amen?
Right.
I believe we need to seek for the will of God. Not just for comfort, not for just feelings. But you know what? That's where true peace comes from, is when you know you're in the will of God. You know, one of the greatest feelings I've ever felt as a young man is I was 10 or 12 years old, driving T-post. You know, I was driving that T-post and did calluses on my hand when it's bust open. You look at that and you say, you're crazy. That was the greatest time of your life. I would be working the fences. They're still standing to this day, 20 years ago, 21 years ago, building those fences, 10, 12 years old. I was building those fences, and at the time, it was the most miserable thing in the world. I was out there driving those, like, Dad, can I take a break? No. He's sitting on the tractor. Driving post all day long, going through doing these T-posts. And you know, what brought the will of God in that? You say, Brother Daniel, how can that be the will of God? I was a young man, and my father needed help. I was a young man, my mother needed help. And you know what I did to do the will of God? I helped my parents. And that was the will of God. And that testament of me doing the will of God at that time, helping my parents, is the will of God. Helping my parents, to this day, we went down there, those same fences are still standing. And we drove by there, and then I felt the swelling in my chest with my kids there. It's like, yeah, I built that. Remember that? I built that. That's my testimony. God did that through me. And you know what? I can bring that in my children, and I pray to God they're still standing when, you know, time permits, when they're 20 years old. They can drive by and they say, my daddy did that when he was 10 years old. Testimonies. You know what? That's one of the greatest things we have is testimonies. When we see God work in our life and we know it was God's will, we need to look at those things and say, you know what? God did that. God did that. And then every time you pass that fence, so to speak, and you have someone, you stop and you testify. You know, I can't tell you how many times I'm in the workplace doing my job, supposed to be selling a car, and I end up testifying. I'll be sitting there testifying, and I was down here, and I was sitting there, and I was talking about Hannah's feet. So I've been selling a car. I'm sitting here talking to these people, and I'm talking about how that God had done that, and how her feet. Well, we were at this table over here, and there were some people at this table and at this table, and the salesmen were working their deals. Well, their customers turned their chairs around, and they were sitting there listening to the testimony. And then I said, you know, at the one point, my little girl come crawling across the floor, and her feet turned perfectly straight, and she started walking. And that girl, that old lady over there, she said, it's the most precious thing I've ever heard. And I was like, thank you, Lord Jesus. You know what? Because worldly gain, that's fine. Those things have their times. But you know what? The greatest thing is the will of God. Amen? Wherever we're going, that's the most important thing. That was the highlight of my day. I didn't care if I sold nothing or not. I got to testify. I got to talk about what God done in our life. You know what? That's what brings joy. I was studying in the scriptures, and for a while there, it seemed like I wasn't happy. It seemed like no matter, I wanted to be happy, but I couldn't get happy, and I didn't know why. And I opened the scriptures up, doing a Bible study with the kids. The Word of God's always the answer. Amen? Amen. Put the scriptures up, and I started reading about Hannah. And Hannah was talking about how Peninnah was always bothering her, always provoking her because she didn't have birth. And the one part of scripture stuck out at me. The husband told Hannah, he says, Hannah, why are you grieved? Why are you grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 children? All these different things. Why are you grieved? And I'm telling you, when I read that scriptures, it just hit me like a ton of bolts. That's why am I grieved? Why am I not happy? Why am I not soaring in the heavenlies? You know what I found out? I was missing that life of kicking and moving. You know what? I believe that's what Hannah wanted more than anything. She had a craving to feel that baby kick. Hannah had a craving to see that baby moving. She had a craving for it. And brothers and sisters, I have a craving for a move of God. I've got a move. I've got a craving for it. I want to see God move. Amen. Amen. If I've got a craving in my heart, if I'm grieved because I'm saying I want a move of God, you know why I've got that craving? He's fixing to do something. That's why. Amen. You watch and see if God don't do something. You know what? Whenever God, and I believe we've got hard times coming, but I believe He's got a bride that's preparing herself. But you know what? How do we prepare? God will put a grieving in your heart. You're saying, I want to get closer. I want more. I want more. When we have that grieving, brothers and sisters, we're going to see something happen. Amen? Amen. Do you believe that?
Amen.
I want the will of God, brothers and sisters. I want to see the will of God in our children, in our church. I want to see the life. You know, that's the greatest thing in this walk is having life. Because that's one thing none of the churches will ever have. They've got sensations. They've got emotions. But they don't have the life.
Right.
If they did, they wouldn't need a prophet. Amen? Abraham felt a pull one day. And Abraham, you know what? On that pull, Abraham was going about his business. And God felt a pull, a big pull in Abraham's heart. He said, you just come follow me. And Abraham didn't even know where he was going. But he felt a pull. Listen to me, young people. You're going through this life, you may not be even focusing on God. You may not be focused on anything. You may be focusing on school. You may be focusing on working out. But you know what? You're going to feel a pull. When God pulls you, he said, you start walking. You won't even know where you're going. Do you know what Samuel, the first time God actually spoke to him, he didn't even recognize it was God. Samuel was laying in his bed. And he kept hearing this. He said, Samuel. And he went into Eli. He said, you called me. What did you call me for? He said, I didn't call you. You lay down. Go lay down, Dylan. He goes lay down again, and he feels a call again. He says, Samuel. He goes, what? Yes, Lord. Hannah, I didn't say nothing to you. Or Anna. I didn't say nothing to you. Go lay down. God was speaking to their heart and they didn't even realize it. They were thinking it was something else. But you know what? Finally, he went again and he began to go speaking. He says, you called me. He says, oh, wait a minute. This is God speaking to this person. You know what? Sometimes we need to see, is it God speaking to me? Is it God speaking to me or is these my thoughts? How many times that crossed your mind, brothers and sisters?
Amen.
Is that really God speaking to me or is it just emotions, the things going around me? Because if it's God speaking to me, I want to grab a hold to it. And I want to listen to it. But how can I know the difference? It's a good question. I'll tell you how. Anytime God speaks to you, it will agree with this.
That's right.
If it ever does not agree with this, it is not God. It don't matter how pretty it is. It don't matter how sensational it is. It don't matter how jolly it is. If it goes against this, it's not God. I want to know I've got the will of God in my life. And we have to come to the point where sometimes we have to make decisions. Well, Tim knows that very well just here recently. You know, sometimes we're going to have to make decisions. And we're talking about being as in earth as it is in heaven. We have to make decisions sometimes, and we say, God, I don't know. Is it your will? Is it not your will? Brother Brown said one time, how can you know it's in the perfect will of God? He said three things. Has God gave you a desire for it? Is it according to the word? Has he made a way for it? He said, you line those three things up, you'll know it's the will of God. You know what? And we have decisions that we have to make sometimes. I believe with all my heart, no matter how serious that decision is, if we will take it with that attitude and say, God, is it your perfect will? Is it going to be according to the word of God? Are you providing it? Are you opening the door? And all my heart, God, I'm making this decision. And when you make that decision on that basis, on that attitude, I don't care how it goes, God will make it come out right. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. You make the decision according to that with the right approach, God will bless whatever it is. Because that orbit, it may look like total chaos. Brother Tim helped me the other day. He's talking about the drums. And he said, you know what? I was talking about somebody that was wanting to learn how to play drums. And he was talking about this situation. And he said, you know what? In playing drums, he said, I just hope he can keep time. He said, because it's not just beating, but it's actually keeping time. Because whenever you keep time, sometimes the other guys will get off beat. This guy will get off beat. That guy will get off beat. All these different people get off beat. But the guy playing the drums, he has to stay right on beat. And the reason is, even if they get off beat, all the other guys, they can go back to the drums and say, that's where I need to be. That's where I need to be. You know, and Brother Tim explained something. I thought this was pretty cool. Forgive the word. You know, Brother Tim's talking about how because the drums are playing on beat, and he's following that beat, and I want you to imagine this. You've got a beat. You've got a line going that way. Everybody see that line? You see the beat going through. That's the drums going down. He can actually go with his guitar and go all the way around, do all these circles and everything, and make all this stuff. And because he sees the beat going through, he can go right back wherever it is and step right in and be right on beat with everybody else.
Right.
Ain't that awesome? You know what? Because the drums, the beat is going, because they've got something to go by, no matter how far they get off track, they got to get back on beat.
Right.
And you know what that beat is? It's the gospel drum. Amen. That's what that is. We got the ministry that will preach that word of God, and it's going by beat. It's going by beat. It's perfect. It's absolutely on time. And no matter what part of your life, what part you're in, whenever you're going through your life, you may be on beat with the gospel, and you may get off distracted somewhere, but because you hear that beat, you know right where to step right back into it.
Right.
And you get right back in beat with that gospel. And I believe that rapture, may be right here. You may be off beat. You know what? You may look at somebody you love and say, they're so far gone, there's no hope for them. That gospel's still beating. And I believe with all my heart, right at rapture time, they'll step right back in beat. And they'll go right in rapture. You believe that?
Amen.
I've got brothers out there, and I'm believing for them. Amen. You know what? You may even have evangelists say, you know what? Sometimes God says no. Well, he ain't said no enough to me yet.
Right.
I'm going to keep pulling. I'm going to pull. There ain't nothing left. You know what? They may be trying to go 100 miles an hour in all the different directions. And every time they do that, they're going to have a tug at their heart. That's pulling back. You know what that is? That's Brother Daniel. I'm pulling them back. You know what? They may try all they want to go do their own thing. But you know what? I know the mystery. There's an election of God. They're gods. They were always God. They're still gods. Amen?
Amen.
They're still gods.
Right.
I'm still gods. And I've got the gospel beat going through. And sometimes I may go far off here. Say, God, how did I get here? But I hear the gospel drum. You get right back to that gospel. You repent and you make those things right. You know yourself if you've been struggling, if I'm in the will of God. You know yourself if you've been struggling, saying, you know what, I want that inner peace. You know yourself if you in yourself. Now I'm not talking about just going to church. I'm talking about in your heart. You know, God, I need more of you. Why am I over here when I know I should be over here? Why am I not being perfected? Why am I not maturing? There's a gospel drum this morning. Amen.
Amen.
And we can feel that life again. It's not just about feelings, but feelings sure do feel good, don't they? Amen. You know, in a marriage, it's not just all about feelings. But sure, it's nice when you have them.
Right.
You know, when you bring your roses to your wife or your ring. I really hit the home run the other day, I thought. I mean, I hit it good. I bought Vicky a nice ring. It was nice. I thought, yes, I finally done it. Guess what happens? A week later, it starts to dim out. She's got to take it back. It was a manufacturer of the ring, or fall of the ring.
I thought I finally hit it. You know, like, yes, she loves it. She's in love with it. Yeah. And she called me and said, hey, we got a problem.
Some guys can't win for losing on those things. I believe we need the will of God. But you know what? What happens a lot of times whenever we start to have the will of God? Now you think to yourself, you pray and you'll say, you know what, I want the will of God, and I want to be in tune with the Spirit of God, especially from like a youth camp. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen? Okay, that's better. I'm going to get you primed up. That way, whenever you get there, they won't hit you too hard. You know, when you go to Louisiana camp and you're so pumped up, you're so full of the enthusiasm of God, you're so full of the power and the anointing of God, and you're going home and you're saying, you know what, I will never let this go. I will never let this go. I can't believe how much my praise has fallen to the slumps. I can't believe how much of a rut that I've allowed myself to fall into. I can't believe all these things. I'll never let that thing go. Amen? Right. Whenever we have a brother, Ben Norod, come, and you're like, yes, finally, I'm empowered, you know. But what happens? You'll do good for a little while. What happens? Trials start happening. You start having trials start happening, one thing after another. It seems like if it ain't this devil, it's this devil. If it ain't this devil, it was that. Didn't I just have you last week? You know, devil after devil after devil. Now, I read a story one time. It's kind of a funny story, but just to make a point. This old farmer was out there, and he had his mule. He was out there doing his crop. And this old mule, silly thing, jumped right over into the well. All the way into it. And he looked down that well, and that old mule, he just, you know the noises they make? This mule was sitting right there in the well, and he's like, oh my goodness, how am I going to get this well done? I got to get this crop done. I've got to get all these things done. And my mule jumped into the well. What am I going to do for this guy? And he says, you know what? Only thing I can do, I'm going to call all my neighbors up. We're going to have a proper burial. So he has all of his relatives, all their friends over. They don't even try. They say, you know what, let's just call the funeral. Let's just give up on him. So all the people come around. They all got their shovels. They all got their buckets. And that old mule, he's sitting here. And he's like, I don't like it down here. You know, it's dark. It's shady. I'm not in the sun anymore. I got water. What more can a mule ask for? He's sitting inside here, and he's enjoying himself. Kind of like we do sometimes. Well, all of a sudden, he's sitting here, and he feels something hit the cross of his back. Like, what was that? Dirt. And he's like, maybe it was nothing. Go back to drinking his water. Next thing you know, more dirt. And more dirt. More dirt. And he's like, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What's going on here? He looks up, and these guys are trying to bury this guy alive. Now what's he going to do? He's in a well. He's got walls all the way around him. He don't know what he's going to do. He's going to die burial. Not just drowning, but burial, you know? What this old donkey does... He's got two decisions. I could sit here and let them bury me alive, and I can die, or I can shake it off and keep stepping up. Mm-hmm. You know what that old donkey started doing? Every time they throw some dirt on him, he'd just shake it off, and he'd step right back up. They'd throw a little more dirt down, he'd shake it off, he'd step back up. And for too long, he'd come up, 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 and he'd make some vision, he'd just step right out of the well and went back to plowing the field. You know, that's the way we are sometimes. We'll have obstacles come place. We'll have trials take place. And we find ourselves in a well somewhere. And we can't get out. We're trapped. And it's like, no matter how hard we try to get out of that well, we just hit the wall and we slide right back down. And you know, and everybody around us, rather than praying us out, let's bury him. You get trials that take place. But you know what you got to do? You got to shake that thing off and step back up. Shake that thing off and step back up. Because this trial is meant to kill you. That dirt is meant to kill you. But that same dirt, that same trial that was meant to kill you, is going to be the very thing to get you out. Amen. The very trials that we have in this life is what's going to make us who we are. Can you imagine the testimony that went around that town about that mule? But you ain't going to believe this one. Sitting around the coffee shop. I tried to bury a mule, and he stepped right out. That's the way it is with us a lot of times. We have testimonies after we've fallen out of that, and we've gotten such a ruck. We got such a mess. We got such a turmoil. How did I end up here from way over there? Trials. No, these trials that we have many times, you got to look at them as a planting rather than a burial. Amen? What do you do? What do you do with seeds? You plant them. Right? But what if your favorite dog dies? Do you plant it?
He said, I planted the dove, now you buried it. Right?
Right.
Because when you bury him, you ain't expecting him to come back. At least I hope not.
Whenever you have a trial come and you plant that, that's just a planting, that's all that is. And you're going to bear something. You're going to come out of that and it's going to be pretty. You know, it may not feel glorious right now, but it will. You just be in the will of God. You say, God, I'm seeking for your will. No matter, these things are hard, these things are tough I'm going through, it's just a planting. I'm not done yet. God's not done with me yet. You remember that. Next time you're going through a trial, you just remember, you just tell yourself this. This is just a planting. It's not a burial. Because you know what? There's times whenever I've been so, especially on a trip coming back from Honduras, you're so anointed, you feel like you just heal leprosy, you know. You feel so anointed by God. And then you start having trials. No, ministry is not excluded from the trial that God's going through. Do you believe that? Mm-hmm. Three times this week, my back's going out. Three times. Mm-hmm. Standing up there at the counter, and when I mean go out, I'm talking about hit the floor. And you make you want to cry like a big baby in front of everybody. You just stand back up, put your stomach against the counter, and you just have to say, put your hand on them and say, God, you healed this back. It's already healed. It's done. I am not going backwards. And go and finish your day. Yeah. You know, and you do great for a little while, and next thing you know, stand there again and just do a simple twist. Hit the floor again. Pain surges through your body all the way down your legs. Those are lying vanities.
Sure.
I am already healed.
Right.
And I pushed myself up against the glass door. Manager said, why don't you go home? I said, no, sir. I said, I ain't going home. I said, if I went home, I'd tell the devil he won. He ain't won nothing. I said, I'm having the victory today. I leaned against that deal, and I just prayed a little bit. Did fine. Next day, come again, started to go down again, and I was standing by the counter again. I turned, and this is the counter. I turned sideways, and it went out, and I slapped the counter. I said, I'm healed. Everyone, I turned around and looked at me and said, well, righty then. I look like a fool in front of them, but guess what? I feel good. Amen.
Amen.
Amen? I put that body back in subjection where it needs to be. You know what? We've got some trials coming. We've got things coming. But you know what? I'm in the will of God, and there ain't nothing that can come on me that God don't allow. And when God allows it, it's just an opportunity for me to shake this thing off and step back. You know what? I want victory in my life. I want to see victory in you. Amen?
Amen.
We need to have a good old testifying service, Brother Tony. Well, we can have a testimony service, and you testify about what God's done in your life. I'm going to tell you just a quick testimony. I was in Honduras on the last trip to Honduras. It hadn't rained for months. Months. And the brothers there, they make their living off of the rain. And we were sitting there with the brothers, and they said, it ain't rained in months. And he said, well, I don't know what we're going to do if we don't get some rain. He said, I don't know what we're going to do. They were speaking in Spanish, and God's my witness. I just put my hand on Brother Taco, and I just said to myself, I said, God, give these brothers rain. In Jesus' name. Simple as that. I didn't tell anybody else about it. I didn't tell Brother Paco about it. I didn't tell this brother about it. It was myself. In my heart, my brothers needed help. And I said, God, I ask you to give these brothers rain. In Jesus' name. In myself. We had to go to service that evening, and it was hot. I'm telling you, some kind of hot. And on our way there, we stopped to get the store, talking to these people, eating some lunch from one of the roadside houses. And they had a television going there. And they said, everyone was real excited when we walked in there. They said, what's going on? Brother Paco asked them. He says, you ain't going to believe this. We got rain coming. We got rain coming. I said, well, praise God. I thought, that's good. We go to service that night. It's not just rain, brothers. It's a monsoon. That rain is coming down so hard. I believe when our brothers need help, we can say it in our heart. It's nothing to gain glory for ourselves. I didn't stand up there on this pedestal and say, I give them rain. You know, it was nothing like that. It was a humble thing. A need arose. My brothers needed help. I spoke the word of God. And I believe that's how God will do the third floor. It won't be like a public show where everyone will know what you're doing. Right. Many times, you'll speak things and they'll never know nothing about it. Yeah. Never know anything about it. No, that's the greatest blessings whenever you do something for somebody and you don't get no reward from it. You ever notice that? You get absolutely nothing. Nada. It's not where you say, you know what, I'm going to... You hit this guy on the television. I'm not calling any names, but somebody's out there that's got a backache.
you will send $25,000. You'll be healed. Nothing like that. That's a hypocrisy of something that's real. You know what? It's whenever we have, when we need healing, and I'm talking about when you really need healing, when you get fervent before God, God will give you healing. When you go with the right attitude, the right approach, and you say, God, I am nothing. I'm nothing. I can't do anything. I need healing in my body. Anybody need healing today? He's here to give it to you. You know what? In the joy of your heart. That's the greatest thing a believer can have, is his joy of his salvation. Yeah. And that's the one thing that devil will try to rob from you every day. He'll rob it from you. And you ask yourself, like I did not too long ago, God, why am I so grieved? Why am I not happy like I used to be? Why am I not so on fire? The word's right. And you know what proven facts are? When a man stops producing, like salesmanship, it's because he lost confidence in the product he's using. Okay? Other thing is, he's lost confidence in the delivery of it. And I begin to ask myself, God, what has caused me to grieve? Why am I not producing? And you know what I realized? I was so consumed with seeing everyone falling away that I had lost my passion, that desire for the delivery of it. I began to see so many people fall away whenever we've got something that's real. We've got the absolute message of the hour, and we're seeing people fall away. I began to not even realize it. I began to lose confidence. I said, God, why have I done that? You be honest with yourself. I think everybody in this room will say, you know what? I know exactly what you're talking about. The devil is trying so hard to make us lose confidence in this message. Making you lose confidence. Am I in the will of God? You know what? I said, oh God, I was in my car. I was going down the road. I said, God, I know this message is right. I know this message is right. I know this truth is right. And I began to search within myself. I began to do an inner search in myself. And I said, God, I want to be on fire again. I want to be so lit up from you. And you know what I started doing? I started taking extra time at work. I'd go in a little early and have a Bible at work. And I'd sit there on my phone. And I'd sit there and I would read a scripture. And I'd say, God, I'm going to take this scripture and I want to see this manifest in my life. I want to see this manifest in my brothers and sisters' life. I began to go with this approach and I began to say, you know what? This message is right and I want to see it work. And you know what? If you pray for God to make your scriptures known to you, you'll sure do it. Because guess what happened to that? That's when my back started going out. That's whenever hardships started coming. And then when those hardships started coming, guess what? I couldn't look to finances to help that. I couldn't look to the department stores to help with that. I had to look to Him. Amen? We got to get back to the point where we have full confidence in this message and the gospel power. Who knows what I'm talking about this morning? I'm talking about where we can know we are in the will of God. Do you want to know you're in the will of God? I want to know I'm in the will of God and I've got God working in my midst. My boy don't testify, so I'll testify for him. And I've done that to brother Champ. He didn't have opportunity to testify here back, and I testified for him. You remember that? And then, so if you better be careful, because if I hear about your testimonies, I'm going to testify for him if you don't testify. You know, my boy, Elijah, struggled in school. But I mean struggle. It was tough, right? It's because he had a hard time focusing. Math was his killer. Had a horrible time. Science, he was pretty good. Reading, kind of tough, right? And we took the scriptures. We said, you know what? I'm going to show you how you can know the will of God. Is we're going to pray about these things. And we're going to see God move on your scene. You kids got schoolwork. You believe God will answer your prayer in your schoolwork? Yeah. My kids go to public school. A few of them. I don't believe every kid has to go to homeschool. I believe that you need to be led by the Lord in those things. I feel very good about them going to school. But me and my wife, every morning, we will join hands and we pray together every day. We will pray.
God, keep them in your hand and help them learn. Help them gain the things they need in this life. Keep them from the things of the world. Pray for them every day. And we got his latest report card the other day. And mind you, when I said he struggled, he did like I did. His credit score was straight up that way. A, 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 B plus, A, A, all the way down. And Dylan, he's always A's. He don't count. God answers prayers. Amen. He absolutely answers prayers. And I began to ask myself more, you know, what is it that causes me to worry about things? And my children, they're going to have to grow up in this world unless the Lord takes us. Amen. And you know, the only thing I know to do, brothers and sisters, is give them the nourishment every day, the Word of God. Bring them to church. Keep them in the presence of God. And do just like that little boy is going to do somewhere around here. Eventually, he's going to start toddling and he's going to fall down. You got to pick him back up and help him walk again. And when he falls down, you pick him back up and you let him walk again. And I believe that's the same way we got to do our children. Is we've got to let them grow in the Word of God. And sure, they're going to make mistakes. Sure, they're going to fall down. But you know what we got to do? We got to be right there to pick them right back up. You know one of the biggest things you want to do, and I've noticed on kids, on our youngest one, especially Hannah. She was the one on this one the most. Whenever she was walking, if she fell down, if you kept staring at her, she'd sit right there and she wouldn't get up. But whenever you act like you didn't notice it, she'd get right back up and start walking. You know, many times when you see someone fall down and you see them make a mistake, you know what the best thing you can do? Act like you didn't even see it. You just pick them. You just put them. God bless you, brother. I really appreciate seeing what God done in your life. Act like you don't even see it. And you pick them right back up and go on carrying a conversation. Because you know what will happen to that? Maybe it wasn't so bad. Maybe I am in the will of God. You know what I'm saying? When you see somebody fall down, don't call your brothers or sisters and say, you know what, I think it's backslidden. I think she's backslid. I do. Can you believe that? Can you believe that she backslid? You want to act like you don't even notice it in front of them. And you just pick them right back up and start walking and start talking about the godly things. You get around someone that talks right and lives right, you start living right if you hang around very long. Maya, I missed 3 weeks in January. Went on vacation and then got sick. I got the flu. It's a little over 3 weeks. And when I come back, I walked up to the desk and I walked in there and they said, Daniel, you do not have permission to get sick again. I said, oh, appreciate that. I don't want to get sick. He said, this has been chaos since you've been gone. Chaos. He said, you watch and see. Peace will start coming around this place because this guy's here. You know why that is? Because we've got him. Amen?
Yeah.
Because when he comes, a calmness will come. Things will get stressed up at the desk. Jason will call me up to the front and he said, Daniel, to the sales desk. I'm like, I got things to do, and I'm walking up here and I go stand by him. And I said, yeah, what you need? Just hang on a minute. He'll keep working, he'll keep doing his deal and different things. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, what you need? Just hang on a minute. And he'll keep working his deal. And I said, Jason, what do you need? He said, I got stressed out, and every time you come around, I quit being stressed. I said, brother, I can't be doing that. Get the Holy Ghost. I gotta go back to work. You believe that we can bring peace to other people?
Amen.
I believe that's the will of God. To bring peace wherever you're going. Not a bunch of fussing, not a bunch of stressing. Talking about the cup that's half empty. Talk about the one that's full. Amen?
Right.
Our attitude. Being thankful. Being grateful. And I don't mean to lag this up. I want to get all this out of my heart so I don't feel bad tonight.
Amen.
You know what? That's the thing that And being in the will of God is being grateful. Being thankful for the small things that we have in life. This week, Bo told you, if I've ever had a tough week, it was this week. Things that just didn't seem like they'd go right. Nothing, seemed like nothing. Everything I touched seemed like it just turned to sand. And I have been praying, God, help me see things. Help me be grateful. Help me be thankful for the things I have in life. I had such a horrible day, and I bought this car and it was supposed to get 30 miles per gallon, and I'm only getting like 27. And I brought this car, and I'm like, oh, just 3 miles per gallon. Three miles per gallon, you know? Well, I had this horrible day, and I've been praying about thankfulness, and I worked my day, and I had to work late, and the deal didn't go through because I couldn't get them approved, and I get inside my car, and I start going down the road, and my deal popped up, 30.1 miles per gallon. I'm like, yeah. The small things. You know what? I looked at that thing, and the Lord knows that will bring a peace to me. And I said, no. And that may sound silly to some of you, but I'm a miles per gallon fanatic, I guess. And I'm always looking at that, and that's what I always rejoice about my ugly car I had before because of the fuel mileage, which it really dropped. That's why I got rid of it, one of the reasons. But you know what? That's a small thing, and I'm thankful for that. And now every time I was going down the road, I'm laying down, like, 31.2 miles per gallon. We've got little things that we can have in this life that can bring joy to you. Amen? And we've all got them. Brother Tim has got his boat. He's got a hen go fishing. He's got little things. I'm not really much into the boat and stuff. But you know, I've got going on rides with him and different things. But they don't really bring a joy to me like it does him. That brother's got little bitty things in his life that bring joy to him that some of you will look at that. Sister Catherine probably look at it as a Tim. It's a spinnerbait. Who cares? You know what I'm talking about? We've got little things in our life that make us feel good that somebody else, it doesn't mean a thing. One of the things that brings a joy to my heart is a new pen. I can get a new pen and a tablet of paper and I'm like, new pen. I'm just as happy with that thing. And I go around, I go, look at my new pen. Daniel, it's a pen. Yeah, it's new. I'm thankful for those things. We have a lot of little bitty things that can bring such a peace to us, such a joy to us, such a happiness to us. It don't take a whole lot of money to have it. But you know what? The greatest thing out of all those is having him. It's whenever you got him with you. Yesterday afternoon, finally got one deal done in the morning, but all the other stuff, four other deals were lined up. It was just like, yeah, this is going to be a home run day. Fell through. I went over and I sat down at my table and exhaustion. And I'm just looking out the window and I said, nothing has gone right. And the Lord spoke to me, just as clear as I'm talking to you right now. He said, you've still got me. I said, God, that's all I want. That's all I want. I don't care if I make another car sale. I want him. Amen. Because that's what's going to bring you real peace, real joy. This economy may fall out tomorrow. We may have total chaos, but it don't bankrupt me. Because I've got God. Amen. I want you to leave today knowing you've got the will of God in your life. I'm going to read one scripture here, or a quote. This is in Jehovah Jireh, number one. Brother Branham says, see, you can't go by emotions. See, your life that you live testifies what you are, see? No matter what kind of sensation, you cannot base Christianity on any sensation. It's a life. Jesus said, by their fruit you shall know them. Not by their profession, not by what they say. And Jesus also said, you draw nigh unto me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. That's their profession, see? Your life tells that. And if a man says that he believes God and denies one word of this Bible or changes it in any way, why, it's going to be wrong. It's not going to be by sensations. Those sensations make me feel good sometimes. Amen? The things that I've seen in my young experience in serving the Lord, the biggest stumbling blocks that come across the message is the gray areas. It's where it's not black and white. And during those gray areas, that's where people will say, I believe it is this way. And when people don't believe it that way, they think they're backslid. Or they think they've fallen away. It's the gray areas. And you ask yourself, where is the biggest stumbling blocks that come from? It's the gray areas. But you know what? Brother Branham talked about the king that needed someone to drive his chariot for him. And he says, I want someone to drive me. And this one guy says, you know, I can get within an eighth of the, or a foot from the cliff. The other guy says, I can do it a half a foot. The other guy says, I'll hug the wall. He said, that's the guy I want in my chariot.
I want the God that won't even try to get me close. I want the God that won't try to get me as close as I can get to the edge. I want the one that will hug the wall. I'm thankful that we have a ministry that will hug the wall. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He'll hug the wall. And Brother Tony, forgive me. Sometimes when we go on hiking trips and different things, he is so paranoid of cliffs that he don't like heights at all. We'll be going down the hiking trails and we're walking, looking, and says, "Get back from there, get back from there." And I'm like, "Brother Tony, would you relax?"
Amen.
You know what? It's because Brother Tony hugs the wall. I want a ministry like that. Because if there is any one in a million chance of falling off that cliff, he don't want to take that one in a million chance. Think about this. You watch a man's nature. Watch his life.
When you're going to an airport, though, sister, not going to say any names, says it may make her nervous because every time he prays, every time they take off, where they go.
It's because a man, if there's one in a million chance that something's going to happen, he's not going to take that chance. If he will do that with the natural things, how much more the spiritual things? Amen?
Right.
I want a ministry that will hug the wall. Amen. I believe we should pray for him and seek for him. You believe that? I believe we should pray for our ministry. And I didn't tell you that earlier, but whenever we pray, we join hands, we pray for our pastor. God will help him be the watchman that he needs to be. That he'll help him, because you know what? The devil will bombard him just like he will us. At work, he's so bombarded and snowed over with everything. You know why the devil wants to do those things? He wants to do those things so his eyes are not focused on the flock. And he's focused on trying to get the job done. Because if he don't get the job done, he's going to have people come down on him. That's why we need to pray for him. And then when a piece of snowed over, he just shakes that snow off and steps up. Amen? He shakes it off and steps up. And those things are meant to kill him. It's going to make him stronger. Because the flock is praying for him. You know what brings a joy? Brother Tony can testify this. Whenever we're going to the airport, like we're going to Mexico, you know one of the greatest feelings in the world is believing your people are praying for you. Believing that they believe in you. When I call home and I'm doing FaceTalk with my wife and the kids are all asking about the testimony. Dad, has anybody got guilt yet? Dad, anybody got their heart? Daddy, has anybody given their heart to the Lord yet? You know what that shows me when he asks those questions? He's praying. Whenever we've got people praying for us, that's what gives us our strength. When you've got a husband that he's at work and he's bombarded, and he calls his wife and she says, "Well, I've been praying for you all morning," it brings something to you. Amen. Can you say amen, brothers?
Amen.
And your sisters, you know, your wives, you know, we know y'all never have problems. 24 hours a day working nonstop, sick, don't matter. They still go. But you know what? Little things that we can do as men. Is send a little text message and just tell me you love them. Tell me you appreciate them. Is that right, sisters?
Yeah.
Well, I figured I'd get a big amen out of that. I should have said flowers. Sisters like those things. They like to be reminded that they're loved, that they're appreciated. And I'm going to ask everyone to go ahead and stand, because I'm going to try to close. I'm going to keep rambling. Young people, I want you to seek for the will of God in your life. I want you to seek and ask God, what is, I know. Brother Tony's will. I know Brother Tim's will. Their life. I see that. I want to know the will of God for my life. Because the more you see the will of God for your life, the more authority you can stand with. Is that right? You can stand with it. You know, you can have the manager's shirt on and never act like a manager. But when you step into the workforce, your work should speak louder than the badge on your shirt. Your life. The authority that you hold. The decisions that you make. That makes it more than anything. Because anybody can put on a manager's shirt, but really a real leader is what it takes to really be a manager. And I want you to really take that consideration this weekend. I'm really speaking hard to the young people. I'm gonna challenge you to seek for the will of God. And say, you know what? I don't want to just have the believer's shirt on. I want to have the life that speaks of the believer. It don't matter if I've got the t-shirt. I want the works. I want the life on the inside. Will you do that for me? So we're going to be praying for you. Is that right? We've got a couple of young youth leaders right here. It's crazy to think that Sister Brittany has got a baby of her own now. But you know what? She's still going with that gospel drum. Amen?
I'm thankful for them, aren't y'all?
Amen.
Amen.
We see them as a young couple, all the trials, the things, look at the distance they travel as a young couple, and they still keep coming and being youth leaders. Who will agree with me? I'm going to be praying for our youth leaders.
Yeah.
Amen. Because our young people, they need them, don't y'all? Amen. I'm going to ask every head to be bowed and every heart praying. I have really just spoken from my heart this morning. And I believe God wants us to have, let His will be done in her, on earth as it is in heaven. We can seek for the will of God. Bring us to maturity. To where we're not falling back in the old things that used to fall in. Or we're not just settling in life. But there's a movement in our life. And you know yourself if the Lord's spoken to you this morning. And you don't have to come up front and be prayed for. You can receive the Lord right where you're at. Though it's certainly open to you. But you know what? If God's dealing with your heart this morning, why don't you say, you know what? I'm dealing with those. I want you to just raise your hand and say, God, I'm dealing with those things. And God sees your hands, every head bowed. And you know what? I want the will of God in my life. I want to know I've got the will of God. I want to be a better son. I want to be a better daughter. I want to be a better husband, a better wife. I want to be a better member of this congregation. Every hand's gone up. We're going to pray for you right now. Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. God, we're not going by sensations. We're not going by emotions, God, this morning. But Lord Jesus, just from an honest heart, Lord, we're saying, God, I want to be in the will of God, Lord. I want to know I'm working in your perfect will, God. And Lord, I see the mistakes in my life, Lord, this morning. Lord, I see things where I've gone error, Lord. Hands have gone up all across the building, Lord. And Father, we're asking for your divine leadership in our life, Lord. We're asking you, Father, you give us a movement in our heart. Well, we've got the grieving in it, Lord, the calling in our heart for a move of God, Lord. Lord, I have a calling in my heart to see a move of God in our young people, in our congregation, God, and in the worship services, Lord. Because, Lord, I feel like the devil's trying to make us settle for something when we don't have to, God. I ask you, Father, to deal with every heart this morning, Lord, every hand that's gone up, Lord. You know the needs behind those hands, Lord. I'm asking that a move of God would go into their homes, Lord Jesus, and Lord, restore the joy of their salvation, oh God. Lord, these precious young people, Lord, I ask you to help them in their walks, Lord. Keep them in your strong hand, oh God. And Lord, though temptations may come, Lord, may they behold you, Father, every day, Lord. I ask you to give them a genuine revival in their hearts, Lord. I ask you in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.
Have your way. Have your way.
If you need prayer this morning and you want me to pray with you, I'd be glad to pray with you. You don't have to. You can stay right where you're at. But if you just need someone to pray for you, you're welcome to come to me now.
As we wait.
Thank you.
this morning.
Amen.
Appreciate what you heard, just the Lord gave to us this morning. You know, words that are timely spoken are always they're just that. They're timely. Amen. So be going through something and not know what you need, and the Lord can come along and give something, and it's just exactly what you need for the moment. Brother Daniel was talking at the beginning about the planets and that sort of thing, and you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but of course it's gravity that makes us go around the sun. We know God, the sun represents God. So it's gravity that makes us pull to the sun, each one of us. But also, the same gravity that causes us to be attracted to the sun causes us to be attracted to each other. So as we are, or as the planets orbit the sun, as the gravity of one planet is constantly exhibiting a force or a pull on all other planets. And so what Brother Daniel was talking about there was that in order for the whole scheme to work completely, it's not just our pull to God that sets everything in order. Because all the other planets affect each other. So in order for my orbit, I want you to get this, in order for my orbit to be right and your orbit to be right, it's not just your pull to God, but it's also the fellowship and the connection that you have between the body of believers, the solar system that you're in.
Amen.
Everybody understand that? Isn't that what you was trying to get at, brother? You see? So our connection and what we do to each other and how we interact with each other has more importance than what you think. Now, I realize it's a small portion compared to what our pull is. But you realize the same God that hung them, the planets out there in that solar system to represent His plan here on earth, that same God has said that you have a connection with each other and you influence each other. And it's only when that all is like that that we're in order, in God's order. And it'll be just like He wants it to be. And so we thank the Lord for that. And if we want our Christian walk to be what it's supposed to be, then that's what has to happen. We all just have to get into those places. And so we appreciate that. And Brother Daniel was talking about the gospel beat. And I was reminded of the vision that Brother Bram had of the bride marching. He had all the church, the early church, was marching to honor Christian soldiers, I think it was, and there was other churches that came along that were hideous and ridiculous and terrible, and then he saw the end time bride once again. And you notice that she was marching in time, onward Christian soldiers, and you notice he said that there were some that were getting out of step.
That's right.
Getting out of step with armored Christian soldiers. And so Brother Branham came out of the vision with his hand out screaming, hollering, get back in line. Because it's important that we stay in tune and in line with the gospel. As I said last weekend, it's not what I think. It's not what the world thinks. It's what God has declared. We must, and that's the discipline of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the Word in our lives. That is exactly what it's here for. It's to discipline. To be a disciple of Christ is to be disciplined by His teachings, to be disciples so that the Word disciplines our life so that our life walks in step with the gospel plan. That's what it's about. And if there was ever a time that we want to make sure that we're in line, because according to the vision, some of the bride members were getting out of step with the gospel, and the prophet of the age was crying out, get back in line, get back in step. And so we know that's something we're up against. We know there's a moment in this bride message where there's a chance that people are going to get out of line, and they will. And I think what they were doing is they were looking at them other churches. We don't want to look at the rest of the world. We're not going to look at all that stuff. Brother Daniel, I appreciate you saying what you said about me trying to be the hug the wall. And that's true. When we were out to Grand Canyon, Ben and I were talking about this morning, you know, I'd like to have walked around that walkway going down into the canyon, you know, but I was a little bit lightheaded and I wasn't going to do it. So my kids had to suffer because they wanted to go and I wouldn't let them. But that's the way I am, see? And we don't want to be influenced by what anybody else thinks. God has called us to walk to the Word and not to what Ben says or what the rest of the world says, not what our neighbors want. whatever, we have to walk to the beat of the gospel, and that's what we want to stay true to. So when he mentioned that, it reminded me of that bride, that vision of the bride, and it was a vision from the Lord.
Yeah.
And so, and then he mentioned something about planting seeds, and I thought that was really, really good. Just to sum up, a little summing up the whole thought was, if you plant something that's alive, it's just going to come forth in strength.
Right.
He mentioned planting the dead dog. We plant the dead dog, well, it stays there because it's dead.
Yep.
But you see, a seed's got life in it.
Yep.
And so when you plant something that's alive, you're not going to keep it down.
Amen.
And there's no way Satan can keep you down, no matter how much dirt he throws on top of you when you find yourself in a well. There's no way he can keep you down, because you're just going to keep stepping higher. Right? What he intends to be a stumbling block for you is stepping stones. How many have seen that in your life already? I've seen it. And that's because that's the way it is. And so we thank the Lord for those things that this morning that he spoke to us. How many believe that it was something you needed to hear?
Amen.
Amen. So thank the Lord for that. I would like to ask each of you, I hope and trust that you have it. If you don't, or you'll probably get it, download it, print it out. But I want to go into the stature of a perfect man here in a week or so. And, I don't know how everybody else thinks. I just know how that I think as a minister and how the Lord deals with me. And the stature of a perfect man is important to me. It always has been. But I'll be honest with you, I haven't always understood as much about it as what I'd like to. It's something you look at that and say, that's a mystery to me. I know it. I think I know what it's saying, but it's just like I know the Lord's been dealing with me, and I see a whole lot more about it now than what I have in the past. And I like what I'm seeing, because what I'm seeing in that is helping me. It's turning my eyes to us and our walk and what's going on in this world now. And I think that we can say that we are exhibiting the virtues more than we think we are. And I think that the hour will show that we're living in, what's going on. I think that will show that. But I'd like for each one of you, don't have to get it printed out if you don't want to. You can listen to it. That's just really what I want you to do, is be familiar with it, so that when I start talking about it, those quotes and the things are familiar, that they're, you know, fresh in your memory. Because I think the Lord really wants us to go down that direction. I believe, saints, I really believe that we are so close to body change. You know, he did say we wouldn't know the day or the hour, right? But he did not say we wouldn't know the times or the seasons. And I really believe that if the bride, and she will, is sensitive to what God is doing, I think she will know that we're entering into that, the times and seasons. Maybe we won't know the day of the hour, but I really believe that if Brother Daniel, you feel the Lord the same way, see?
Yes.
Something is happening. Yeah. Something's happening. And that's all I can say, you know. And to the bride, the rapture is a revelation. So I just want to, my heart is so gripped, you know, I keep thinking, well, I should probably get an evangelist in, get a visiting minister in. But I'm really concerned, you know. I really want to make sure that everybody's, if you're not getting caught up in the spirit of what's going on, you're probably going to get tired of me saying, keep your mind on rapture.
Yes.
Keep your mind on checking up and asking the Lord, you know, what about me and what about my walk? And so I think what you'll find out is that you have more faith than what you think you have. And you possess more of a faith in your heart preparing you for rapture than what you really think you do. And I think the Lord's going to show you that shortly before it's over. And I don't think that when we come to the place where we need third pool, like Brother Daniel mentioned this morning, I don't think it's going to be near. I mean, I don't want to take away the fervency of what your walk should be, but I think by the time we get there, the dynamics of the Holy Spirit is going to follow the mechanics of the Word that we've been feeding on for all these years.
Yes.
And we're going to sail through that time so smooth by the presence and the power of God. Won't be that there won't be chaos, but to the bride, to the believers, there'll be a peace and a comfort and a presence of God that just makes it kind of like it was at Passover night. You know, so you kind of hold your breath, seeing the judgment fall. you know, 1,000 to your side, 10,000 to your right, then it won't come out of your dwelling. And we've got to believe that.
Yes.
Amen. And when we focus and get the revelation correctly lined up in our mind, that's exactly what happens. It will not come out of your dwelling. I know each one of you go through battles and trials each week. I go through them too. My wife, I'll tell her about some of them. I don't even tell her about all of them. But I go through them too. But I don't think it's necessary for me to tell you everything. But I have pains in my body that I'm confessing, you know. And so, you know, we just know that each one of us, we're in that place. And as I told Brother Tim this week in a text, I said, you know, we have the Lord and we have each other. That's right.
Amen.
And so we just want to just hold ourselves that much closer together, stand in the gap for those. And remember, always be praying for those that are without. Those that you love, that's on your heart, always be praying for them. Because God's looking for someone to stand in the gap. And I believe as long as you're praying and standing in the gap for someone, Satan can't have you. Let me believe that. As long as somebody's making a sacrifice, and that's what you're doing, because you have to, it's a sacrifice. You have to say no to flesh to get out and spend time with prayer and all these things. But that's a sacrifice, and as long as there's a sacrifice, then there's somebody who's going to benefit from that. Amen. So I believe that. Let's bow our hearts to the Lord as maybe get a song for dismissal together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words that were spoken this morning. Lord, we know they are true. You have a divine purpose and a divine will for each one of us, Lord. A place that we can walk where we know that we're in your will. Doesn't mean, Lord, that there won't be times that the enemy comes up against us and fights us. It doesn't mean that there may even be times where we even question whether or not we're truly in your will, even though we feel like that you've spoken to us. But Lord, we believe that you've given something to your bride that would make her be perseverant. And even in those times when doubts arise, Lord, she will look back to your word and you'll reconfirm to her her position and what you called her to. We thank you, Lord, because we see your hand moving among us in that way. And Lord, even when so many times we oppose ourselves, but yet in just a few moments we see you come back around and bring clarity to us. We realize, God, this is something you're doing. And we're happy, Lord, to be a part of it. We're glad, God, that you chose us. We didn't choose you, but you chose us. And you have looked upon this earth to find a people that could represent you this day. And Lord, we were your choice. I pray, God, that if we don't put that in the right perspective and give it the right preeminence in our lives, Lord, shortly we will. That truly, the opportunity to represent you in this earth is the greatest call, the greatest life we could ever be called to. And Lord, you have given us that call. We ask, God, that you would help us as we go from this place. Be with us, Lord, as we go, as we travel through this week, as we know the enemy finds us, he'll come, he'll try to destroy the work that you've given to us in our heart today, the word. We just pray, God, that you would defeat him and cause your people to be there for joy. Jesus.
Thank you.